You're listening to a Peak Media production.
And now, coming to you from the Windy City, it's the Daily Dime with your host, Tim Keller.
Welcome, everyone, to this Wednesday edition of the Daily Dime. Today is October 30th, and we had a busy Sports Tuesday between the MLB, the NBA, and the NHL, along with some NFL news, and we've only got about 10 minutes to talk about it, so let's jump right in. We will start off with Game 4 of the World Series in the Bronx last night, where the Dodgers had a chance to complete the 22nd sweep in World Series history over the Yankees, and they came out hot again with another two-run first-inning homer from Freddie Freeman that has to feel like Groundhog Day at this point for New York. He has now homered in all four of the World Series games this year, and he's homered in six straight World Series games in general since he had homers in Game 5 and Game 6 of the 2021 World Series, where they closed out the Astros. But back to the game last night, so it's 2-0 in the bottom of the first after Freeman's home run, and Gleyber Torres is up to lead off things for the Yankees, and he fouls off a ball pretty deep to right field right at the wall on the first base side, and as Mookie Betts goes up to make the catch, two fans in the front row start to grab his glove, and they're trying to rip the ball out. And I know we've all seen a million plays where a player goes into the stands to make a catch, and occasionally the fans get in the way and they interfere a little bit, typically pretty innocently, but this was just egregious interference from the Yankees fans. Betts clearly had already caught the ball, and he was just trying to get his arm back into play. And these guys were just relentless until the ball was ripped out. And whether or not these guys thought they were just trying to be funny or joking around, you know, there's just certain boundaries that you don't cross as a spectator at sporting events. I think a lot of people have gotten way too comfortable at these games, and this was just too far. I think they're really lucky that they didn't end up hurting him. You know, when you watch it back, they've got his wrist pulled back over the top of the wall as they're grabbing his glove, and they're grabbing his offhand as well, so he can't even, you know, help out with his other arm. And if they would have hurt his wrist or something, that would have been catastrophic for an incident that was completely unavoidable. But anyway, both fans got ejected, and I assumed that they would be banned from any further Yankee games or at least the rest of the World Series, but I did hear that these guys will be back tonight, so in my mind, just a complete failure from the Yankees organization. But anyway, so it's still 2-0 Dodgers. The Yankees come storming back, though. They had a run in the second and then a grand slam from Anthony Volpe in the third, so that pushed the lead to 5-2. But then the Dodgers, they would make it interesting in the fifth. They had two more runs that would get Heel out of the game. And as you're watching it, you're starting to think, oh, they just might have the momentum again. They might close it out tonight. But then the Yankees came right back with another run in the sixth and then five more in the eighth to put it out of reach. And that would be the final at 11-4. So the Yankees avoid the sweep, and they have their ace, Gerrit Cole, on the mound for them tonight in Game 5. And as I mentioned yesterday, nobody's ever come back from a 3-0 deficit in the World Series. And I'm not saying that the Yankees are going to be the first team to do it, but if they can win tonight and get this series back to LA, I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on the Dodgers. You know, the Yankees are playing loose and free right now. They have nothing to lose. And as much as I typically despise them, I kind of want to see them win tonight just so we can see how the series plays out in LA. Either we'll have, you know, arguably the greatest comeback of all time in a championship series, or the Dodgers get to celebrate in front of their home crowd. So, as I mentioned, Game 5 tonight with Cole and Flaherty on the mound, and it should be a good one. I'm expecting the stadium to be rocking tonight now that they finally got to see a win in New York. But transitioning from baseball, we also had four games in the NBA last night. And we started off with a shootout between the Nuggets and the Nets on the other side of town over in Brooklyn. This one was tied at 125 after regulation, and both teams went nuts in overtime too, combining for 33 points in just the five extra minutes. The Nuggets would come out on top, though, thanks to a massive triple-double from the Joker. He finished with 29, 18, and 16 assists. Aaron Gordon and Jamal Murray both added 24 points as well on a combined 16 for 30 shooting. We then had Dallas and Minnesota squaring off in Minneapolis, And Anthony Edwards had a huge game with 37 points on 60% shooting, but it was not enough as the Timberwolves fell to the Mavs 120-114. Luka and Kyrie didn't have great shooting nights, but they still combined for 59 points and got just enough help from the rest of the supporting cast to pull out their third win of the year. The Kings then beat the Jazz 113-96 with Sabonis and DeRozan leading the way as they combined for 48 points, 15 boards, and 12 assists. De'Aaron Fox also added 19 in the win as the Jazz shot just 39% from the floor as a team, and they are now 0-4 on the season. We then closed out the night with a huge comeback victory from the Warriors as they scored 77 points in the second half to beat the Pelicans in San Francisco. Neither Curry nor Wiggins played last night, but the Warriors had five players score at least 17 points, with Buddy Hield finishing with 28 points and seven made threes to lead the way. Zion had 31 and Ingram had 30 for the Pelicans, but nobody else scored in double figures as they now fall to 2-2. Moving on from basketball, we also had some college football last night, and we had an absolute sicko game between Louisiana Tech and Sam Houston that I wanted to mention, because the final of this one was 9-3, and the score at the half was just 3-2, just a hilarious Big Ten West-style game on a Tuesday night Conference USA matchup. So I just thought that was funny, wanted to mention that one. And then we also had some news in the NFL where the Colts announced they're going to bench Anthony Richardson. This wasn't too surprising to me after he subbed himself out of the game on a crucial third down on Sunday because he claimed he was winded. I would think that has to be one of the quickest ways to lose a locker room as a quarterback. But at the same time, you know, you really have to wonder what the long-term plan is for the Colts here. Richardson, he has some flashes of brilliance here and there, but largely he's been pretty terrible. He has a horrible completion percentage. I think it's like, I heard some stat, it was like, I don't even remember what it was. It was like bottom three completion percentage with his amount of attempts since like the year 2000 or something along those lines. It was terrible. And Flacco obviously gives you a better chance to win now, but I just don't think this team is seriously competing for anything. I mean, even if they make the playoffs, they're probably going to get smoked by a team like the Ravens in the first round, which actually would be kind of ironic if they stay with Flacco. But anyway, I feel like this is how you end up in NFL purgatory, and that is just the last place you want to be. You either need to be truly contending or down at the bottom of the standings so you can be at the top of the draft and, you know, helping build your roster. And this just feels like they're attempting to win like 9 games and sneak into the playoffs just to end up picking whatever 19th overall in next year's draft. And at that point you have, you know, a 40-year-old QB and then another one who you spent the 4th overall pick on who is at this point an unknown commodity. And so, you know, I don't know. I somewhat commend the Colts for just kind of going for it with Flacco, and he's playing it well enough to win them some games, but I just think it's going to be a disaster for them long term, and this could really set them back for a few years. But we'll see. Maybe they surprise some people and they win a playoff or a playoff game or two, but I don't know. I'm not expecting it. But anyway, we also had a few hockey games last night, and some of the notable ones being the Wild beat the Penguins 5-3 in Pittsburgh for their 6th win of the year already. And then the Senators and the Kraken both scored 8 goals in wins over the Blues and the Canadiens. And the Caps beat the Rangers 5-3 for their 6th win of the year also. And 2 of their goals came from Ovechkin, who now has 856 for his career, just 37 shy of Gretzky's all-time record. Gretzky is still light years ahead in points because he has 1,263 more assists than Ovi. But it'll still be fun to see if he can catch him in goals here at the tail end of his career. But anyway, with that, we will just about wrap it up for this Wednesday episode of the Daily Dime. As always, thank you for listening. And if you would, please consider following the show and rating 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you may listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow. See ya.